Today is July 3, 2026. This is your AI briefing for Business Pragmatist. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover how Anthropic's Fable 5 relaunch is quietly billing customers at premium rates while routing them to a cheaper model, what EPO, Abanca, and Ericsson are teaching us about wrapping deterministic guardrails around probabilistic outputs, and why NVIDIA and Mistral AI are reporting a tenfold throughput gap that should reshape your next GPU procurement conversation. Let's start with the number that should worry your finance team most, $62.50 per million output tokens. That's the effective cost of Fable 5 once you account for silent fallback routing, and most teams running it in production right now have no idea they're paying it. Here's the timeline. Fable 5 shipped June 9th, got pulled globally June 12th after Amazon researchers flagged a safeguard bypass to the U.S. Commerce Department, and relaunched July 1st under new, government-negotiated safety classifiers. Anthropic says the safety margin is now bigger than in any previous launch. That's the good news. The bad news is buried in the routing layer. When a request gets flagged, Anthropic silently reroutes it to Opus 4.8, a cheaper, more conservative model, but still bills it at Fable 5's $50 per million output token rate, not Opus's $25. Developer logs even surface an internal label, quote, too dumb to need Fable, unquote, that never appeared in the API documentation. So teams have zero contractual visibility into how often this is happening unless they build the instrumentation themselves. The strategic play for your board is simple. Don't take vendor pricing sheets at face value anymore. Before you commit budget to Fable 5, run a fallback detection script against 500 or more representative production prompts. If the fallback rate crosses 20%, your effective cost per successful response blows past $62.50 per million, and Opus 4.8 with explicit routing control becomes the better procurement decision on cost alone. This is now a standard line item for AI vendor due diligence treat routing transparency, the same way you'd treat an SLA. There's a silver lining buried in the same release cycle. Sonnet 5 ships with a variable effort parameter, low, medium, high, or max, that scales token consumption to task complexity. It's priced at $2 per million input and $10 per million output through August, rising to $3 and $15 respectively in September. That's a genuine cost control lever, and it's worth building into your architecture now, before the September price change. One more governance flag. Claude Code reportedly ran an undocumented anti-distillation mechanism since March, encoding routing metadata through Unicode character substitution in system prompts. An Anthropic engineer confirmed it as, quote, an experiment now being rolled back. If your teams are logging or auditing system prompts, check for non-standard Unicode ranges. This is exactly the kind of hidden behavior that turns into a compliance headache later. Building on that theme of trust but verify, the production case studies coming out of Mistral AI's Now Summit from the European Patent Office, the Spanish bank Abanca, and Ericsson all converge on the same architectural principle. Never let a language model's output become a command. Treat it as a proposal that has to pass through a deterministic validation layer before anything actually happens. Abanca's banking agent, Sophia, now serves roughly 1 million active users and adds around 100,000 new users a week. Every single LLM output gets checked against hard-coded business rules, parameter ranges, bounds, permissions, before any state-changing action executes. On top of that, Abanca runs a second LLM, operated adversarially by the security team rather than the development team, scanning every input and output for prompt injection and data exfiltration. Each sub-agent is scoped narrowly. The card-blocking agent, for instance, has zero access to mortgage data. More importantly, this isn't a nice-to-have. It's the only reason a bank can put generative AI in front of a million customers without losing sleep. The European Patent Office's OCR pipeline tells a similar story from the infrastructure side. They're processing 100,000 pages a day on a single on-prem H100, and Mistral's new OCR 3 model actually underperformed their legacy system out of the box. But after fine-tuning on more than 50,000 historical patents, about 1 million page-level training pairs, it beat the legacy system by more than 20%, and the fine-tuning itself took only about 3 weeks of compute. The rollout followed a staged volume ramp. 5%, then 20, then 50, then full production, spread over 6 to 8 weeks, with hard rollback triggers at every gate. Edge cases that failed validation were routed back to the legacy system rather than dropped. As the EPO team put it, quote, "If you do not have fallbacks in a production system, you're not production ready." That's a sentence worth putting on a slide for your next architecture review. The pattern across all three companies is that 70 to 80% of engineering effort is going into data preparation, not model training. If your organization is still budgeting AI headcount and timelines as if training is the hard part, that ratio needs to be corrected now. Now to infrastructure economics, because this is where the numbers get big fast. A joint NVIDIA and Mistral AI panel reported that NVIDIA's rack-scale GB200 architecture delivered 10 times the inference throughput of disaggregated H100 clusters running Mistral's large 3 model. That's not a marginal efficiency gain. That's an order of magnitude difference in what you get per dollar of GPU spend. The trade-off is that integrated AI factory procurement means designing power, networking, and storage as a single system, whereas the disaggregated approach gives you flexibility but demands HPC-grade operational expertise. Teams that tried to self-build the disaggregated model without that expertise reported GPU utilization stuck below 40 to 60%. The strategic play for your board here is to stop treating this as a pure build versus buy technical decision and start treating it as a staffing decision. The panel's consensus was blunt: partner for the operational layer rather than try to build it internally unless you already have deep HPC talent on staff. Also worth flagging, teams that skipped full-stack observability across GPU utilization, memory, network, and storage from day one reported 2 to 3 month remediation cycles later, with degraded reliability the entire time. Instrumentation isn't overhead, it's insurance. On the research side, Stanford's 2026 AI Index offers a genuinely useful data point for anyone benchmarking agent readiness. AI agent success rates on real-world computer tasks jumped from 12% in 2024 to 66% in 2026, a five-fold improvement crossing into what most practitioners would call operationally usable territory. But the same index found models solving Olympiad-level math while reading analog clocks correctly only about half the time. Takeaway is that capability gains are wildly uneven across task types, so benchmark-driven model selection without task-specific evaluation is still a real risk to your deployment timeline. So here's the risk-opportunity pairing to carry out of this briefing. The risk is that vendor pricing and routing behavior are becoming opaque enough to quietly erode your margins. Fable 5 is the clearest example yet, and it won't be the last. The opportunity is that the production playbook for de-risking generative AI is now well-established and proven at scale. Deterministic validation layers, adversarial security review, staged rollouts with hard fallbacks, and full-stack observability from day one. The companies winning right now aren't the ones with the flashiest model access. They're the ones who assume every model output is unverified and built the infrastructure to prove it wrong before it costs them. Stay strategic. I'll see you at the next briefing. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.